The following message is from LifeSource Christian Church MP3 Audio Lounge. More information about LifeSource is available at lifesource.org.au.
For those who don't know, yes, it's Dazza, because I'd like you to be my friend, but for if you want to be more formal, it's Darren and Belinda, and we were based out of this church. We still are sent from this church and supported, and we love this church family, and for all the supporters that still support your dream. And I just want to thank you literally from the bottom of our hearts, because we wouldn't be able to do it without you. And we used to be youth pastors here, and Belinda was the children's pastor. Seems to be a common thread, right? The youth pastor's wife does the children. Although Aaron is out there today, I heard. So he should be, all right? And John, if you're wondering about the petting of animals, there's some just out there. We're not that far from them. Children, right? No, I'm kidding. Some of them go, what? Did you just say that? No. I love children. And that's why I'm a youth worker still. And I go into schools right across Australia. And also, Helen loves sending me over to Hungary. And we were just having a little chat very quickly at the start of the service. And then someone over in Hungary, a young man named Tomas, basically sent me a message, and I said to Helen, he must know that we're talking about him anyway. So, but look, we appreciate all that you're doing, in and through us and partnering with us as an organization. I want to show you just something really quickly, because I think that it's worthy of praise to God, because when we launched out, and started the ministry from this church, we didn't know what was going to happen. And I just want to show you a couple little things real quick. And have we got that? Go to the next slide. Okay, so when we started it, it was pretty much back in 2007. We did seminars only. And so I was just kind of out and about doing things. You know, started off with about 20 schools, and then grew to 50, and then it grew to 100, and I think it was 24 in 1 year, or 154, I can't remember. But it was a lot of schools. I was away a lot. And I really felt God was going to take us into a multiplication stage, because it was essentially me doing it, and I had a few people I was training up, but it was just me doing it. And then an opportunity came through the federal government, where under the invitation of the federal education minister, they kind of told me about it. I was down there visiting, and basically they said, why don't you get involved with chaplaincy? Now, up until that moment, I'd only ever heard of chaplaincy through Anne, right? Pastor Anne. I was like, chaplaincy? I mean, you know, like that, I don't know where that fits into schools. And so after a little bit of research, and at first saying no, I mean, imagine that. I said no first time. I went, nah, it's not for me. The next round of funding came, and they said, no, we think it's you, and you should consider it. And I said, okay, all right, we'll go for it. So that little 2011 down the bottom there is where we kind of started out. We started telling schools that we were available, and we grew to 8 schools. And I must admit, I liked it, and it was comfortable. It was like, this is awesome. And so, 2012 rolled along, and we had 8 more schools. We only had 8 schools. And I was like, this is happy days. You know, we got pretty much about 8 chaplains that we're looking after, and it was fantastic. In 2013, you see, you know, a bit of a bump from the start of the year. Okay. At 2013, the next little blue thing is, the growth we had in that year. And we went to, you know, 14 schools. And I must admit, that was a little bit of a stretch. And I remember that by 2014, we were in 15 schools. And then God decided to, and I still remember these moments, that I would be laying in bed, or I'd be praying sometime, you know, somewhere, and I'd be saying, God, do something, you know, in and through me. Do something through my life. And God, I just don't want to just be, you know, going along at cruise control. Who loves cruise control? When you're driving long distances, cruise control is good, right? Otherwise, your foot feels like it's starting to feel like lead. You just kind of just click that thing on, and then you are fine, right? You know, you just stay over, you stay on that limit, right? I just said stay over. I went to say stay over that limit, you know. Don't you heckle me as if you don't speed, all right? Let's take it easy, all right? And in 2015, you know, God started to do something pretty amazing, because we went from 1 year from 15 schools to 48. And then from 48 in 2015, we went into 2016 with 106. And it was like, what are you doing, God? What are you doing? And then in 2017 to this date, right, so we're not even at the end of it yet, at 2017 right now we stand at 121 schools. And it's crazy. Praise God for that. Praise God for that, and pray for me and Belinda, right? That's what we want you to do, because we need your help. And it is just, it's a big thing. So what does that equate to? Let me show you. These are the cool things. I just love this part. So people, this is what it's all about, touching the lives of people. Per week, our chaplains are reaching, like, direct one-to-one or groups, 1,000 young people a week. Right? Come on. Now, that's not just like standard in assembly, which is what I used to do, kind of blow in, blow out. And yes, you'd have an impact and you'd open the door for a local church and you'd hope that they would keep going. But we're talking about every single week, right? 1,000 young people get one-to-one support, or in a group setting, because they've been identified by their school as needing support and they might be in a group setting. That's 1,000 young people every single week on average, right? And they're not the same kids from week to week. They might be for a couple of weeks and then they actually start. It's all part of the pastoral care of the school system. They actually then identify some other children. Every single week, our chaplains feed 670 young people per week, right? They feed them breakfast, right? And that's growing. I don't have time to really get into the growth of that, which is amazing to see. This equates to, next slide, there's 66,000 hours of chaplaincy so far this year that Your Dream alone is providing local, those 121 schools. Most of the time is in classroom support, then one-to-one, then obviously yard time out in the school grounds, and then obviously groups and so forth. And then this is one of the cool things, is that the last one I want to show you is the issues that our chaplains are working through with young people. Number one, it's the biggest one. It didn't used to be. It used to be like number two for many years. Now it's the biggest one, is disruptive behavior. You know what that says to me? Is that actually, and the second one, family issues. So these are the top two issues, 9.7 and 9.1%, right? Now, I love stats, as you can probably tell, right? I love stats. I sit there and look at my stats. I even, do all you remember Dave McGregor? So he made this site for me. He's a, you know, absolute legend. I love the guy. And he just made me a new graph, and I just sat up all night looking at it. I was just going, this is awesome. And you know what it is? It's the tenure. So I want to know how long chaplains stay with me, right? So I just, you know, I want to know what state they're from, and I want it broken down into male versus female. Then I want it broken down into city versus country. He does all these things for me. And you're thinking, this guy is a nerd. It's true. I love Apple products. And if you have lots of Apple products, you are a nerd, okay? I have nearly all of them. Anyway, so this is what it says. Those two things. Let me tell you what it says. That tells me that schools, we're talking about government schools. I'm only in two Christian schools, right? The rest are all government schools. It shows me that the world trusts our chaplains to deal with, like, something that normally used to be a education-only sort of issue, like the principal, the deputies would deal with disruptive behaviour. Now, they're asking chaplains to come in and help bring peace to a classroom. And not just that, they're saying the thing that is the biggest and most critical issue in a young person's life is family issues, family-related issues. We want the chaplain involved with that. So we've got chaplains that go to homes, okay, and are connecting with parents. We've got chaplains who deliver hampers and school uniforms to refugees that are now being placed in a school. We've got chaplains that do all of this stuff around families. And I don't know about you, but that excites me, because I wouldn't be able to be in 121 different places at a time. I'm working on it, you know, the cloning technology. I'm giving it a go. No. But you know what I mean? Like, I mean, I can't be in these places. And I can tell you, church, that right now there's I'm just doing the numbers quickly. There's at least 10 other schools that I'm talking to about joining our network. And this is only going to keep growing, right? And the influence of Life Source Church is already impacting people around the world. But I want to tell you that here on home ground in Australia, you are making an impact. And you're doing it in your local area, but I'm telling you, you're doing it across Australia through the schools, and you're doing it through your dream. And I just want to thank you, because this is you, right? This is not just me and Belinda. This is you as well. And we are seeing this many young people, impacted. Can I just give you one thing that I want you to pray for? Is that you might notice, some of you may have seen number 5, it's anxiety. 2 years ago, it was number 8 issue. Last year, it was number 7. It's jumped to number 5. There's anxiety in young people. This is a trend. I see all the trends. Again, I love sitting there. I look at all the trends. And I want you to pray for that. If there's something that you're an intercessor and you're praying for young people, like you, sometimes you throw out those kind of blanket prayers, you know, like we pray for the young people of Australia. Can I just tell you what is the biggest issue that's growing right now? Is not only the family issues, but anxiety. And pray, this is what you need to pray. I've sought God on this one, is that this is how you should pray. Pray that local churches will go in and bring that peace and hope to a young person. And not just through my chaplains. I'd love to be in every single school. Could you imagine your dream, Belinda, in every single school in Australia? That would just be crazy. But, you know, who knows? But can you pray for us? Amen? All right, that was a good amen. That's at least 2 of you. All right, you'll pray for us. That's good. This morning I want to speak to you about knowing your storms. Knowing your storms. In Matthew 8:23, Jesus says to his disciples, his followers, he says, let's go to the other side. Let's go on a bit of a boat trip. Anyone here got a boat? Got a boat? Yeah, a couple of you? I used to have a boat, right? I had a beautiful Caribbean Concorde, 5.5 meter, 115 horsepower, you know, half cuddy. It was beautiful fiberglass fishing boat. Many times Pastor John would call me and he would say, where are you? And I'd answer the call. I'd say, oh, we're just actually out on West Reef. And I'd taken some of my youth team out, you know, go fishing. And I used to love it, you know. And one time I decided to go out there by myself. And this, I'd done this plenty of times. And I have never really seen what you see in movies sometimes, when all of a sudden what was sunny when you're going out, then when you're out there, all of a sudden it changes, right? Now, I didn't believe it. I thought, oh, this is just Hollywood. You know, these people just make up stuff all the time. Well, I saw it for the first time in my life. So I'm on a reef. I'm fishing away. I'm having a good time. I'm out there by myself. And then all of a sudden, things start to change. The clouds start rolling over. And I'm like, oh, this is not unusual. Then all of a sudden, the wind just went from almost nothing to just like that. And I'm like, whoa. Boat swings around. I'm like, okay, it's time. I probably should think about going, but I'm still catching fish. So I put it down one more time. I'm like, you know, just watching, and oh, got another one and put it back in. I'm like, you know, till finally, all of a sudden, the swell that was behind that wind finally starts, you know, hitting me. And I'm like, yeah, this is fine. Well, it got to the point where I went, this is it. Like, I mean, I better pack up right now. So I put my rods down. By now, the swell had probably gone from almost nothing to around about 2 meters, right? And so the boat's going up and down, up and down. And yet some of you who really get, you know, bad motion sickness, is that's making you sick, just even thinking about up and down. Anyway, well, sorry, let's keep going, right? And so I'm there on this boat. Now, if you've ever been on a boat where you've been anchored to a rock, okay, to a reef, you would know that there's that up and down, but then there's also this up and jerk, right? You know what I'm talking about? Some of you are going, what are you talking about? It's because the anchor is in rock and it jerks the boat and the boat goes around. And that's the type of stuff that can throw you out. And so I'm trying to get this anchor out and I'm trying to, you know, I'm up the front hanging over the top looking at these swells coming at me and I'm like going, you know, trying to get this anchor. It's not going. So then I go, right, okay, get onto the engine. And so I start doing circles around it, reversing, and I'm trying to get this thing to break, the rock, right? And I'm going, now it's getting big, okay? Now, I can't remember how tall my boat is, but by now I can't see the horizon, right? So, and when I'm in the gully, right, of these waves. And I'm thinking, what got me to this moment, you know? I was having a nice day fishing, and here I am right now facing, you know, peril, right? I'm eyeing off the, you know, where is the life vest? Okay, I can see it. It's all good. We're ready to roll if we need. You've got the flare just over there as well. And so I'm trying to do circles and finally I just give up. I just grabbed the knife that I'd, you know, used for fishing and I went straight up to the front and I just went slash, took off. Left the anchor and I just started to, you know, motor back. Now I couldn't go fast because if you've ever been in a situation like this, the safest place for you to be is in front of the wave behind you, right? So you just kind of just not right in the gully. You just want to be just on the, you know. Well, man, I couldn't see anything. So I'm using my compass because I'm in the gully of these things and I'm just every so often I see is it Kangaroo Island? I can't remember what it, now what's that island just out on Broken Brooklyn? Lion Island. Well, kangaroo, lion, same thing, isn't it? No. And Kangaroo Island, where did that come from? It's Australian, you know. Oh, I could tell you some funny stories about that one. Anyway, but yeah, Lion Island, I'm looking at this thing and then it disappears and I'm looking at it and I'm just freaking out. Like I'm like going, and then I start seeing the white tips of the wave starting to break behind me and I'm going, oh my gosh, like I'm going to be literally, as John just said, I'm going to be surfing in a second on a boat. And I just was just panicking, right? This is what the disciples didn't know was about to happen. Jesus takes them from a place, and if you look in the preceding scriptures, if you love coming to church and you love being taught, you know, you got Matthew 5, Matthew 6, Matthew, and then Matthew 7. You got a buffet of teaching, right? And Jesus is telling them all this stuff and they're on these, you can just imagine them. They're on these beautiful, you know, rolling green hills listening to Jesus, you know, speak and they're being taught and it's exciting. And it's almost like Jesus, you know, as the reader, you can look back and see Jesus go, right, enough teaching. Now we put it into practice. Let's go to the other side. And it's actually really, I don't know what your Bible does, but mine's got the whole red letter, but then it also breaks it up into, you know, the different topics, you know, fasting, the laying up of treasures in heaven, the lamp of the body. So all these teachings that Jesus is giving, and then he says, let's go to the other side. When Jesus said that, me as the reader, if I was to somehow go back to these disciples, I'd say, get ready, man. You're going to get smashed. It's going to be huge. You're going to think you're going to die. You don't want to get in that boat, right? And Jesus, knowing all of this is about to happen, and again, he was going to teach them a lesson. He was going to show them something. See, fact number one that you need to write down, and I need to break the myth on this. Fact number one is that storms are part of life. They're part of your life. They're actually part of your Christian life, but they're also part of natural life. Storms, and I'm not just talking about the physical ones. I mean, we should be praying for those who have been hit by the hurricanes and do what we can there. But ultimately, I'm talking about it in an emotional sense, in our life sense, that storms, stresses, things that go wrong, storms are part of life. How do we know this? I don't have time to get into the precedence of this, but you could go back to Genesis 1 and start reading, and not too long you'd find, after a few chapters, you'd find that mankind messes it all up with disobedience. From that moment onwards, storms a part of life. God has a nice, eloquent way of saying that it's going to be, you're going to have storms in your life by saying that when you sow something, when you work the ground, I'm going to make sure there's weeds there to remind you of your sin. It's going to be hard. You're going to have sweat on your brow, but storms are part of life. Fact number two is that storms are sometimes, and I put a little note here, or most of the time, self-created. Darren, aren't you meant to encourage me? It's coming. It's coming. But I just need to lay the foundation that the storm that you may be going through may have actually been created by yourself. And this is, again, part of life. Why? Because it also goes back to Genesis. It's also part of our nature. Have you ever met those type of people that just seem to be living in a perpetual world of storm? Have you ever met those type of people? Like they go from one crisis to the next crisis. I couldn't imagine living like this, but have you seen, you know, they've always got an issue. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Ever met a person like that? Oh, just people that I've got some close people to my life, and I just know that they go from issue to issue. Like they just live in this perpetual world of crisis. I couldn't live like that. Storms are sometimes, or most of the time, self-created. So if God is trying to show us through this scripture, and I want to show you this in just a moment, but if he's trying to show us that storms are part of life, it's the way that it is, and God does have a redemptive plan, but if it is meant to be part of our lives, then what stops us moving through storms? What stops us from actually going forward and overcoming? Could it be past hurts? Could it be our mindsets? Could it be what people have said to us? Maybe it's our setbacks or failings. Maybe you've tried to get over it, but nothing seemed to work. Or maybe, and I've preached on this one before, this one little sub point, is maybe yesterday's miracles are holding you back. Maybe the good stuff is actually stopping you from going forward. Like the disciples, I just long to be on those rolling green hills with Jesus again while he just feeds me and feeds me and feeds me more and more teaching. But Jesus says, no, now is the time to put it into action. I've taught you something, now I want you to use it. See, maybe we need to, in our Christian walk, remember what God has done in our lives, but forget how he did it. So that we don't become committed to a system, but instead stay committed to the source. I'll say that again. Maybe we need to remember what God has done in our lives, but we need to forget quickly how he did it. Because we don't want to become committed to a system. This is the way it had to be. Instead of being committed to the source. How do I mean? Okay, so I remember when God touched my life. And it was when Sister Lovejoy, not Tim, sorry. Tim, where's Tim? Is he over here somewhere? Hey, buddy, how you doing? But Sister Lovejoy is, you know, playing the piano a certain way. And she's playing that great old song, "Then Sings My Soul." You know the one? "My Savior, God to me." You know what I mean? Right? And some of you just want to break out, don't you? "How great thou art." I sound like a karaoke bar. Anyway, not that I've ever been to one, but anyway. But Sister Lovejoy, she played it at the right time. I grew up in a at the time, a very, very, you know, kind of more traditional Pentecostal church. And I remember that every single time on a particular part of the worship, someone would stand up and start speaking in tongues at the top of their lungs. And then immediately after, Brother Love would give the interpretation, the same interpretation that I'd heard last week. And you might say, but God wanted to get it through to you. Well, He didn't stop saying the same thing for 7 years. So either we're thick or this guy is like a broken record. It's stuck. It just goes back, you know, next one. Maybe we need to learn to rejoice, praise God. And I love those moments, John, when we said, we thank you, God, for what you've done in these people's lives. But maybe we need to make sure that we're not committed to a system of the way we do things, but actually committed to the source. Is that, God, we know you'll do it different. God, we know you still want to heal us. You still want to save us. You still want to bless our lives. Hallelujah. But you might do it a different way. Amen? Take it back to Moses. Moses did an incredible miracle. God told him, hit the rock and water will come. Amazing. That's awesome. I don't know about you, but last time you hit a rock, did water come out? But this is what happened. Bang. Water. Everyone goes, yes. Everyone loves all you can drink, right? Everyone, like, you know what I mean? Like when you get that place and you go down there, does Subway still do that? And you just go, psh, you drink and you're just like, it doesn't matter if it runs out. I'm going back, you know? That's what God did for the people. The next time they're out in the wilderness, they're like, okay, we've moved on. We remember what God did and how he saved us. God says to Moses this time, man, I got something even better for you, Mo. I'm telling you right now. Don't just hit the rock, speak to it, right? Because that's like no hands. You know what I'm talking about? You remember that when you were a kid? No hands. I don't even need hands for this. But what does he do? He goes up and he hits the rock. And it cost him. It cost him a lot, really, if you think about it. That one little bit of obedience. Thank God we live under Jesus and his redemptive grace. Hallelujah. It cost him the promised land. It's a pretty heavy price to pay. So let's not. I know that Life Source is not like this, and it's not a warning. I'm actually saying this is an encouragement to you, is don't be committed to a system, be committed to the source. Rejoice and remember what God has done for you, but forget how he did it. Why? Because he's going to do it a new way through you. When you did things and you saw hundreds, God's going to do things through you that are going to see thousands. Amen? And then tens of thousands. Hallelujah. So how does God use storms, right? Because this is the encouraging part. Like, can we get to the part where, yes, there are storms in life and there are storms that I've actually created. I understand that I've probably stalled in the middle of a storm because it might have been because of a past hurt. Someone said something, someone did something, a mindset, a setback, a failing. I gave something a go, it didn't work, or I remembered the past too much. How does God use storms? And this was so encouraging for me. Now, can I tell you that this has actually come from, I guess, in our own walk, both mine and Belinda's, our own walk with God and in faith with Your Dream School's ministry. How does Jesus use the storms? How does God use the storms in our life? Is number one, he uses storms to teach us. To teach us. In Psalm 32, verse 8, God says, I will instruct and I'll teach you. I'll instruct and I'll teach you. God uses everything around your life to instruct and teach you. He wants to show you something in this storm that you would not have learned if he'd told it to you sitting on the grassy hill. You would have just heard some information, but he wanted to make it practical. And sometimes you just have to walk through something so that you get to the other side of it and you can say, ah, that's why. That's why God wanted to do that in my life. I understand now. Why? Because I also believe it's for a blessing of others. It's something that you can transfer that information, or if you can't transfer it and someone else has to walk it, then at least you can walk it with them. And the storm doesn't bother you anymore because it's normal for you. You go, I've done this before, but friend, if you just let me help you walk through it, and that's what discipleship is. That's what Christianity is. We're meant to be walking this journey together to teach you something, to show you something, to make you a stronger and a more faithful believer. Jesus uses these storms to instruct you, to teach you, to show you. Can I tell you that everything you go through in life, God would not want to waste one little tiny bit. Everything that we encounter in life, it is to encourage you, it's to strengthen you, it's to take you forward. Amen? God uses storms to not only teach me, but number two, to strengthen us. I remember when, and my wife and I were talking about this, Belinda and I were talking about this when we came in, we were just reflecting. There was a milestone in our ministry. You remember that graph? Can I just show them that graph again? Is that possible? Can I just show them that graph? Just pull up the graph. Yeah, okay. So I heard people go, ooh, because we get excited about those things. But that little bump right there, 2015 to 2016, can I tell you, I've never had a time in my life where I could not sleep, right? I mean, always, just no worries, okay? I could do it now. No, I'm kidding, no. I mean, there was never a time, ever. But can I tell you, in that 2015 to 2016, I have never had a time in my life where I could not sleep sometimes 2 and 3 days. Just little breaks, I'd have 1 hour sleep and then I'd be up again. Because this milestone in our ministry was not one of those good positive ones, or at least I didn't think it was. I felt like God was not only stretching me and I was going through a storm, but I mean, it would keep me up at night. I would lay in bed saying to myself, go to sleep, go to sleep. Put earplugs in, put an eye mask on, cucumbers underneath. No. People say I look young. I'm not sure. Anyway, but I mean, and unbeknownst to Belinda, because, you know, with Belinda, I go, hey, honey, we're going to go to bed now. Yeah. And she lays down and then I'll go and clean my teeth. I come back and she's gone. Well, she doesn't snore. I do. But yeah, she's gone. Like she goes to sleep like that. I wish for that. I still don't have that. Hallelujah. That's a prayer, God. I want that. But I mean, I know I'm kind of making a little bit of a joke here, but I got to tell you, I thought I was losing my mind. I literally could not sleep. And I was so tired. And if Belinda had the mic right now, and I'd let her truthfully say it, is that I was a terrible person to be around. I knew it. Have you ever had one of those, you know, out-of-body experiences where you kind of look at yourself? You kind of go, you stand back and go, he's a really grumpy guy. I wouldn't like him. And then you go, oh, I'm thinking about me. And I was terrible. I knew it. I remember one of the breaking points was I actually said to Balloon, I said, I know I'm terrible. I know it. I can hear myself. And I didn't know what to do. I had a friend say to me, oh, you're going to have a breakdown. I'm like, I wish no one had ever said that. He said, you need to go and see this guy. So I went and saw him. I never went back. I was like, far out. That didn't help me one little tiny bit. Basically said, you're too busy. That's what he said. I'm like, tell me something I don't know. Really? But I still remember the moment where it, like the disciples, where they went and woke Jesus. You know, and they said in verse 25, they came to him and awoke him and said, Lord, save us. We're perishing. And then Jesus replies in verse 26, why are you so fearful? You of little faith. See, that little bump there, everyone gets excited about. I had friends slapping me on the back going, wow, that's huge. But all the while, there was a man that was at home who couldn't sleep, was getting worse, being a terrible husband, a terrible friend, terrible father, terrible boss. And I remember going, God, I am not leaving you tonight. This is at 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I said, I'm not leaving this place right now unless you break this in my life. That you teach me what you've got to teach me. because I'm done, because I need to come out of this strong. And I remember that this time of testing was one of the greatest, you know, times of strengthening in my life. I remember Belinda, and the good news to the end of that story is that I remember Belinda saying to me, she says, "You've changed. You're back to the Darren I was." And I remember that I didn't announce to anyone. I just remember it was like a rubber band. Something just snapped in my life. It was like the shackles. I went through that kind of ceiling, the next level, kind of like Donkey Kong. You go up to the next level. Yeah, I'm there. You know, that kind of thing, right? You know what I'm talking about, all right? But Philippians 4:13, this is the one scripture that used to resound in my spirit, is that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. God, strengthen me. Get me through this storm. Hallelujah. I want to get to the other side, not just so I've got a good story, a good testimony, but so I can help others. Hallelujah. I want to learn what you want to teach me, and then I want to become at the other side a stronger person for us. Number three, proves us. God uses storms to prove us. Now, this is not us getting prideful. It's about realizing in ourselves, wow, look what you've done in me, God. Look what you've done in me. I remember this morning I was just sharing with Anne just a quick testimony of how we've launched into Queensland. In Queensland, right now, we're in enemy Maroon territory. No, it's all good. Did you guys all know that Penrith beat Manly? You remember that, right? You guys, your little semi-finals was over. Yeah, but none of you don't even care. So we'll bring stock report next week. All right. I remember that, you know, as I was saying to Pastor Ann, I said, when we launched into Queensland, a few years earlier, we decided to go to Victoria. Now, there is not a day that goes past that I ask God, why did you send me to Victoria first? Okay? When I can get on a plane in Sydney in shorts and polo shirt, right? Just living the dream, you know, 35 degrees, 32 degrees, and then get off the plane in Victoria in 16 degrees, okay? And that's in summer, all right? I'm like, God, what? Why did you send me? And I feel the Holy Spirit every time I ask that question just gently prompts me and just said, I wanted to know if you'd go. So I passed that test, hallelujah, right? Because I used to go, how come you didn't send me to Brisbane or, you know, Gold Coast? I mean, that's where everyone wants to be, right? I'm like, yeah, that'd be a great place to be. Going to Queensland. Well, when we went into Queensland, my first visit to schools, first visit, I'm going around to schools meeting them. I had a person following me, right, from an opposition provider. They were following me, which I thought was cool because I felt like I was back in the days of, you know, when I was track bombing and Bible, you know, smuggling into China. I remember going, this is awesome. I'm getting followed, man, you know. And apparently we've been in Queensland before, we've been told, right? So we've been there before, but unsuccessfully. And apparently we had someone up there we employed called Levi, right? So there's a joke in our office now when we don't know what's happened. Someone's moved something or something, you know, we just go, it must have been Levi, right? Because we've never been in Queensland before, but yet we are there now. And we're already growing. And probably by the end of this year, we could be in 20 schools there. And we haven't even advertised. We haven't even told people. It's all word of mouth, people talking to each other. See, that time of testing where God was teaching me something and then he strengthened me in that moment where we went through that milestone is that now those type of things don't hassle me. I actually think it's funny. But see, I can only see it's funny or I can see the humorous side of it because God has proved it in my life. He's shown me, Darren, your skin is thicker than that now. You're not even worried about that stuff now. That's nothing to you because of where I'm going to take you. He proves in you that he has built a man and a woman of God. He's put something in you that is undefeatable, that a little boy named David can take on a giant. That same spirit is inside of you. If you just open your heart to be taught, to be strengthened, and to allow God to prove in you what he has done in your life. And number four, and the final thing is, and I'll get the band to come on up, is that God uses storms in your life to be doors to breakthrough. God uses uses these storms to be doors of breakthrough. Have you ever seen a sunrise or sunset on someone's Instagram and there's no clouds? It's kind of okay. It looks cool. It's amazing. Yeah, that looks a good picture. But how much more exciting, how much more vibrant, how much more amazing does that picture look with that sunrise or sunset to have some clouds in the background, you know? I don't want a life that's got no issues, no storms, no challenges, because I know that I'm not growing. I want a life that's exciting, and to have that exciting life, that life full of faith where I actually have to turn my faith on and use it. I want a life that, yeah, it's got some clouds. It's got some storms on the horizon. But now I can honestly tell you, church, when I see a storm in front of me and I see it coming off and I go, wow, okay, what's God trying to do to us? I always say to my staff and my team, I say, just imagine what's on the other side. God's about to do something big in our lives. I've learned not to say this too often to Belinda, because she just says to me, right, 120 schools? Well, we'll be 150 by the end of the year. End of next year, we'll be 300 schools. And I just go, whoa, take it easy. She's a storm. Take a chill pill. Sit down, relax. But see, too often in life as Christians of faith, you've got to understand who you serve. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He defeated death and defeated sin forever and ever. Amen. We are saved because of Him. I can never repay Him. So I say, Jesus, I take communion. I do that. I understand the blood of Jesus. We get excited about that as believers. We say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood that washes me clean. But not too often do we say, thank you for the suffering. Broken body. You know that part? The one you rush through? No. As a believer, we should welcome the storms. I know that it worked in the disciples. I know it worked in them, but at this moment, when they're just babies in their faith, when they went from the rolling green hills of teaching to the storm on the water where they felt that they were going to die, but then Jesus saves them to the other side of that water, when they come to the paralytic who gets healed. Look at it in your Bible. They go and see Matthew the tax collector give his life to Jesus. They see the woman healed. They see the two blind men healed. They see the mute man speak. They see the demon possessed completely set free. I don't know about you, but I like the rolling green hills of teaching. But, oh, God, send me through the storm so I get to the miracles on the other side. That's what I want. That's where I want to be. And if I have to go through this storm, then so be it. Why? Because I know you're with me. You might be sleeping at the front of the boat. I might have to go wake you up and show how bad my faith is. But I'll still go up to you and say, Jesus, save me. But I still want to go on that journey with you to the other side. Oh, God, I pray that we never become complacent. I pray that we never stop standing up for what we believe in. I pray that we constantly stand up for what is good, what is righteous, what is a blessing to our country. I pray, God, that we never see a storm and we start to shrink back, but instead that we say, I see the storm, I'm ready to lean forward, lean further into you, closer to you. As I finish, I just want to remind you of a scripture where Jesus is teaching people, and the children were drawn to Jesus. And they start running to Jesus, and they're getting around Jesus. And what does the disciples do? Because culturally, that was actually unheard of. And so they try to send the children away. Jesus is about to give us another lesson. And he says, no, don't send the children away. He says, I say to you, because unless you come to me like a child, he said, you won't enter heaven. This is how you enter heaven, right here. Look at them. He was teaching us the difference between childish faith and childlike faith. We are called to have childlike faith. What happens when a child is scared? They don't run from a parent. They run to a parent. So when we're in trouble, when we're going through stuff in life, whether life throws it at us or our bad choices throws these storms at our lives, is that we should run to Jesus. Run to His feet. Don't feel ashamed. You might say, but what I've done has brought shame. No, friend. Jesus has forever and totally and utterly broken the chains of shame over your life. And you should never allow yourself to be bound by these things again. Doesn't mean that we, you know, continue to sin. That, you know, like, I guess grace will abound. No, Paul addresses this. He says, no, certainly not. Of course not. I always want to aspire to be like Jesus, knowing full well that I'll never, ever be able to attain that. But I want to be like Jesus. Why? Because I want to be around Him. And when I'm in trouble, when I'm going through a storm, I'm not going to run from Jesus. Childlike faith says I'm going to Jesus.
Thanks for listening to this message from LifeSource Christian Church MP3 Audio Lounge. We invite you to visit us online at lifesource.org.au to find out more about our church and to also access other free resources.